Okay, before we go to the reading this morning and into the message, I'd like to take us back into prayer and a prayer of illumination. So let's go back to God in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, as we come together as a family of faith, lifting you up in worship this morning, be with us as we hear your word this morning out of Holy Scripture. Be with us as we share a message together this morning. Lord, use the word from Scriptures and the message shared with this congregation to the nourishment of our spirits and our souls. May we receive it as intended. Lord, be with us as we share in your glory this morning as a congregation of love and family. Lift us up now as we come to you in your holy word and in the message prepared in thy service, in thy name. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're reading out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and reading all of chapter 2. And this is Paul's message of wisdom to the Corinthians. And it begins at the beginning of 2. When I first came to you, Paul says, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Yet when I am among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God, His plan that was previously hidden, even though He made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the Scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who truly love Him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit, for His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things that God has truly and freely given to us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truth. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach Him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So again, good morning, church, and welcome back to worship. Today is another special day in the life of our ministry. Lots of changes and moving parts here at Bethel. Many things going on. If you have seen a handout in your bulletin, you can see all the things that are happening in adult Bible study and Waymakers. And you can see all the community events that where we share in ministry with other churches. You can see that we're starting a new youth Bible study in April. So lots of great things happening here and lots of moving parts. Stacy is committed to come and be with us for special music and work with Joanne once a month to share in some unique and certainly beautiful musical approach to worship. Just a lot of great things happening here at Bethel. Although a challenge, it is a blessing to be engaged in Christ's ministry to our community and to the world. I know all these new things and things that we're trying to do as a house of God, as a congregation together, these are challenging. As your shepherd, I would be remiss if I didn't say you guys challenge me every day to be the best that I can be and to serve you at my best. With that said, I appreciate the challenges and I'm grateful for the Christian accountability because we do and should hold each other accountable for our service in Christ. However, leading this ministry isn't just my sole responsibility, it's also yours. When I started 20 months ago in the pulpit on a regular basis, the very first thing I did was to seek God's guidance in Scripture. I was actually overwhelmed. I made an offer and it was accepted. And then I heard my father's words, "Be careful what you ask for, you just might get it." But in that conversation with God, He led me here. In doing so, He said, "Derek, provide this congregation that you will lead, however temporary it may be, provide them with a vision. Get them out of their comfort zone. Make them think out of the historical box that they're accustomed to. Trust in not only your wisdom, but more importantly, their wisdom." So today's message is about embracing the vision of our ministry and each other's wisdom through our God-given talents as Christ followers. In Proverbs, we learn that when there is no vision, the people will perish. If you need a reference, that's Proverbs 29:18. This is the very scripture that I found myself in conversation with the Lord some 20 months ago. In my conversation with God over those 20 months, I believe, and certainly you need to believe, that we have been in many knockdown dragouts. He and I have debated back and forth on many occasions on things to share and things to bring and the vision that I think is important. But what we both agree on is it has to be important to you too. You have to have as much buy-in to what God and I are trying to share as He and I. This is a team effort, a Bethel family effort. God and I have talked about His vision for our church. And here are some of the talking points I think He would want to share with you. He would tell you, where there is no vision, there is no life. Where there is no vision, there is no future. He would share with you, where there is no vision, there is no hope. And where there is no vision, there is no power. He would also say, in the absence of vision, when it doesn't exist, the absence of clarity of His passion doesn't exist. You can't truly see right from wrong or the good from the bad. Friends, anyone can be passionate about anything. The question is, are we passionate about the things that really truly matter in our life? We scratched the surface on this in Bible study this past week, which I also encourage you to come to when you can. We have a God-directed vision in this ministry. We begin to be passionate about the things that truly matter in life when we seek God first, much like I told our young people this morning. When we take off the glasses of the world, when we put away that perception of the world and only seek God first. In a God-directed vision, we start giving up our desires to pursue God's desires. We start letting go of our own agenda and begin pushing God's agenda. God-centered and God-directed vision gets our passion clarified from the things that are truly important in our life and in our ministry, from the things that are truly meaningless in our life and certainly not a big deal in our ministry. So being accountable to Christ in vision for our ministry, here is where He and I have landed in 2024. There are three simple things I want to talk to you about this morning. One is disciplined effort. When we have a God-given vision, it sets us to pursue that vision with the attitude to accomplish it. It puts us in the right frame of mind. The church sometimes gets into a coast mode. Now that's my quote, but a coast mode to me is we begin to rely on things already done. Simply put, we go back and revisit it and we kind of make it work for the coming year and we just coast right through it. And that's kind of dangerous to stay in coast mode. When we get into coast thinking, we are robbing ourselves of what God is trying to share with us and what He desires for us as a family of faith. And more importantly, He is trying to also tell us that we have the capacity as a ministry to carry His Word and make changes and do new things that grow this ministry and make it bountiful. We need to give God our best every single week in everything that we do. We need to stop thinking that things are good enough and start taking a serious look at how we can improve. My aunt always said to us growing up, no matter how good you are, no matter how good you've been, there's room for improvement. Our teachers taught us that in school. You can always be better. And friends, we can be better. We need to stop thinking that that good enough approach will make us coast wherever we want to go. God deserves better than a good enough effort. God is worthy of our very best efforts, week in and week out. This thinking should apply to everything that we do because our lives reveal God's work. It's His ministry that we share with others. It's His work, His glory. It's better than a good enough approach. So questions to you, are you giving your best in the ministry to Bethel in its service? Are you doing all that you can today? Are you giving your best not only in your family of faith, but also in your personal family? Are you sharing in God's glory in your relationships, in your family, in your friendships, in your relationships with your colleagues? Are you giving your best? Because that's what we do as followers of Christ Jesus. Disciplined effort. The second is determined optimism. If there is any place in the world where people should be positive, it should be right here in the house of God. There truly should be no negativity. Now, I know it exists, but there shouldn't be any. Our attitude determines the outcome of our success or failure more than anything else. Attitude will shape the way that we look at faith. And if we have a negative attitude, we will also have a negative view of faith. But even worse yet, even if our attitude towards our faith may be negative, our perception, how people perceive us, could be even far worse than our interpersonal attitude. That negative attitude could betray us as followers of Christ. And we certainly do not want that. The best example is the nation of Israel refusing to move into the land of Canaan. We read this story in the Bible. God promises them that He will be with them forever. And they viewed this situation, because they had to move, they viewed this as a negative manner. They viewed moving into the land of Canaan as a negative thing. And they refused to follow Christ, even at His request. The result was 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, waiting for the negative and the faithless generation to die off. And thus they were stuck. The reality is that if we refuse to see the positive things God is doing and refuse to keep moving forward with God, everything could fall apart around us. And we certainly do not want that for our ministry nor our spiritual family. We need to keep a determined optimism about church and our own walk with God. Be positive about salvation. Be positive about sanctification, evangelism, and outreach. And last, be positive about serving Christ in his ministry that we lovingly call Bethel Presbyterian. If he were here, could you find negativity? If he were standing in your presence this morning, could you see the negativity in church? You couldn't. But yet it exists. And friends, he's here. The third thing we want to talk about is directive evangelism. We are seeing lives changed and people either starting a relationship with Christ or renewing their relationship with Christ in this ministry. We see all kinds of friends come in the doors of this church. We need to wrap our arms around them and love on them and share in the goodness of His glory right here in this house of God. Nothing is more important than this, but we need to increase our efforts in outreach and evangelism. Last year I gave you a pastoral directive, Operation Invite, I think I shared with you on January. Invite a friend, a neighbor, a colleague, a stranger, just because. I just simply said, go invite them, bring them to worship. Now, 2023 is over, and that was your directive in January. But simply because that directive is over and the year has long passed, the Operation Invite doesn't stop. It's worked. We have brought new faces to worship, both here and in Summer Church. Operation Invite should be alive and well in this ministry every single day. And I'm now circling back to the wisdom that God asked me to rely in you. In Scripture this morning, we see Paul sharing his wisdom with the Corinthians. In short, what Paul is saying here is be yourself in Christ Jesus. Jesus is easy to love. Jesus is easy to serve because you are special just simply because He loves you. Put Him first and do it for His glory. What I have noticed in my tenure is when we try to help others or bring others in to church, we overwhelm them with a series of complicated explanations about faith, old order, and instruction. Paul realized this in Scripture this morning when he said it would confuse the Corinthians. And he made a personal decision because he knew if he confused them, that they would believe salvation was only possible through some kind of special wisdom or knowledge. Thus, Paul's wisdom was simple. Paul kept the message simple, and so should we. He loved on them, and he gave them his heart. And thus, we should love on others and give them our heart. It's as simple as that. As we share the message of Christ, we trust in the power of the Holy Spirit to work in the lives of those we help. As I spoke with the young people, when we look through the vision of our youth, when we look through the vision with a clear understanding of the Holy Spirit in our body, we see things through Christ's eyes. Thus, wisdom is simple, and all of you possess that wisdom. Not because it's simple, but because you have been blessed with the Holy Spirit. And that's what Christ told me some 20 months ago. Rely on your wisdom. If we simply ask Him to work in our lives, that plan will simply come to fruition. All we have to do is seek Him first. And I heavily rely on your wisdom in this ministry. This morning, let me close this message with the following things. This is what God sees as your wisdom. In our conversation and through my observations, here is where you are because you are here. You are here this morning in worship. We are here together in unison as a family of faith. As followers of Christ, you have surrendered your life to His service. We can build new lives for each of us. And we can build this ministry through your strength and your wisdom beyond our wildest dreams. It has already started to grow, and it continues to grow. This is why the Lord said, give them a vision, Encourage them to think outside of the walls of the chapel. Encourage their work and enforce the vision that you have provided for them, and then step back and get out of their way. It's your strength and your wisdom that allow us to soar like an eagle. It is your strength and your wisdom that God is calling on this morning. Friends, you are in flight. This ministry is moving every day, moving forward. All you have to do is look at the announcements in your bulletin and upcoming activities. There's plenty of things to do in the name of Christ Jesus in this ministry of Bethel. There is more than actually we can keep up with. So here is your charge from Christ Himself. It rests on the foundation of where Jesus and I landed some 20 months ago. I will continue to push and share my vision with you, but you have to own it. I will lead and work with each of you as we grow together, but you'll have to work with me as hard. But the vision I share must be owned, truly owned by you, not just on the outward perspective, but also in an inward perspective. In doing so, I rely on your wisdom more than I do my own. You see, there's an old saying out there that says, most of you have done that and bought that t-shirt, and I will rely on your wisdom because you've been there before. So here it is. Jesus and I are asking you to do the following. And we're not asking for it to happen next week. We're asking for it to happen right now. Number one, invite a friend, a colleague, a stranger to worship. Continue that practice to continue to show the love that Bethel has for its community and its loved ones. Volunteer to work in this ministry in whatever capacity. Don't worry about being qualified. God will qualify you when you come. No worries. I promise. If I could stand here, He can qualify you when you come. Those members and friends who are absent today, make sure before the sun sets that they get a phone call from you this week with a message that sounds like this. Hey, we missed you at church. God loves you and so do we. We hope to see you next Sunday. You see, there are a lot of people that are absent. Some come as frequently as they can, and some have quit coming altogether. Let's fill these pews. Let's continue to grow this ministry. And it begins through your love, your effort, and your wisdom. Not just mine. Mine's important, but not as important as you. You are the spirit. You are the legs and feet that move this ministry forward. Take your faith beyond Sunday worship. Volunteer at Kingsway, WRE. Volunteer for something in God's good name. Join the choir. I can't sing, but I stand up here every Sunday beside them, and I sing, try to sing low enough so that I don't ruin their message. But here I stand. Come join us. Be a part of our music program. Come to Bible study. Come to youth Bible study. Come to anything that happens here in this ministry. Be a part of its growth and its education. Serve God through love and friendship of one another. And I promise you, the ministry will continue to grow and grow. In our scripture this morning, Paul says the following words as he closes this passage. Who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach Him? The answer is simply this, friends. Those who surrender themselves to His ministry in the aforementioned ways, the things that I've asked you to do, that I've charged you to do, that Jesus and I are coming to you about this morning, those things that I have shared with you this morning, do you not want to have some wisdom and some vision in Christ Jesus? I do. And I know you do. And the way we get that is working together in this ministry, sharing of our time and talent, being one church, one unified body, together in Christ Jesus. This is what Christ is calling us to do in service to Him in this community and through this ministry, this home we lovingly know as Bethel, God's house. Let's do it together. And from this moment forward, let's get busy. We got a lot of work to do. Amen.